Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Father, we thank you. Who is like you, Jesus? Ekweme. Idimma nememma. There is none like you. We may not understand, but you do understand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you are doing in this place. Thank you for tears you are wiping off of our faces. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearts you are convicting already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for many that are returning to you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. Thank you for utterance. Even as we begin to learn from your word, we are grateful. Oh, Lord, I am thankful for your presence here. I am thankful for utterance. I am thankful for the spirit of faith at work in our lives here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we left here edified in the name of Jesus. Our minds were renewed, our lives transformed. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please have your seat in God's presence. Thank you, Hill City. Amen. Glory to God. And I want to speak over Hill City. God is not just in this room. God is in your lives. And men will see that light anywhere you are. Everywhere you are. Anywhere you are. Everywhere you are. You'll be aglow for the Lord. The light of God will shine through you. You will spread the aroma, the fragrance of Christ everywhere. In the name of Jesus. You'll be talking, but angels will be speaking. You'll be talking, but angels will be speaking. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are blessed. You are blessed. None of you will cause pain. In the name of Jesus. That which the Lord has proposed for your lives will be actualized. In the name of Jesus. And I say that for every one of my volunteers. You are blessed of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is greatly upon you. In the name of Jesus. You will indeed set your word on the right path. In the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Greatly blessed. Marvelously helped by God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say to somebody, welcome to church. Hallelujah. Amen. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. If you're still feeling sad right now, know that Satan is lying to you. He's lying to you. You know why? You have joy. He's just telling you don't have it. Imagine that you're wearing clothes. I just call out my brother. I say, you're not wearing glasses. Why are you not wearing glasses today? In fact, you're not wearing shirts. Why did you come to church naked? Stand now, confess. You're looking confused. You don't understand what I'm saying. I say, why didn't you wear clothes to church today? You're wearing clothes. No, you're not wearing clothes. I should see your clothes. It's the same thing. When Satan says you don't have joy, just see my joy now. What do you mean? I have joy. See my joy now. Amen. So you should be the way you are sure. I'm putting on a clothes. What do you mean, Pastor? Are you seeing clearly? Do you need glasses? I'm putting on a clothes. I'm Pastor. You can even call your neighbor. You're not seeing that I'm wearing clothes. It's the same way. You don't accommodate the lie of the devil when he's telling you, oh, you're depressed. Nobody cares about you. Nobody knows what you're going through. Said my lie. I'm full of joy. Hallelujah. When you begin to say it,
you will see it.
When you begin to say it, you will see it. When you begin to say it, you will see it. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to say that the things of the Spirit, you believe that you have it. And you declare that you have it. You refuse the lie of Satan. And you believe what God has said. Amen. Remember what the Bible says? Whose report should we believe? Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 93. I want us to declare that together. Psalm 93. Then put that up in New King James for me, please. Psalm 93. Thank you, Lord. What a joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's good to come to church with your Bibles. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you can carry all the iPhones and iPads and all the eyes, but none of them beats your Bible. Praise the Lord. I think we should really, really intentionally be bringing our Bibles to church. Not just in church. Have your Bible. Amen. You know, the easiest way to be distracted is when you're reading with your device. It's easy to, and just to give you a tip, in case, of course, you came with your devices, this is the age. Amen. It's the age. We're not taking that away. But I'm saying you can put your phone on Do Not Disturb at least. Now that you are in church, are you not planning for nobody to disturb? Are you planning for somebody to disturb you? So you can put your phone on Do Not Disturb. What it does is that there is no notification that can come in. Okay? So you can just be using your phone. You can also do that when you're studying at home. Because, like the movie that Mr. Jedi shared, you can just be, I desire to read today. I'm in the mood. But then, one whoever, maybe something you've been expecting. That's when they will now remember to send you a message. Praise the Lord. I'm like, wow. Okay. It's a weapon fashioned against you. It's not good news or anything. Leave it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It didn't come since. Immediately opened your Bible. Praise God. I'm saying that put your phone on Do Not Disturb. Create the environment or the way to help you. See, distractions are bound. That's truth. But tell yourself, I want to do this. And then put systems in place that will help you study the Bible. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So are we in Psalms 93 now? Okay. All right, let's read that together, everybody. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. Hallelujah. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Hallelujah. Than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Our God is good. So you can call it a follow-up or a sequel. But in continuation from our last month's theme, which is back to the basics, this month we are looking at the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. Is that Obinna? Good to see you. Long time. Welcome. Okay, so the sovereignty of God. And today we're looking at God rules or God reigns over all. You know, you want to, sometimes you see, it's as if that God and Satan are, you know, they're just, they're fighting, they're enemies. Like, do you see God here? See Satan. Who will win? Who will not win? Hey, God and Satan, they are fighting. Who is going to win? Hey, oh, Satan is almost winning. Hey, God, wake up now. God, throw your mighty hand. Ah, God, do something. God, now, ah, see, Satan is about to win. He's about to win. He's about to win. Hey, oh, okay, God is winning. God is winning. See, Satan is a fallen angel. They don't even come. There's no comparison between God and Satan. Hallelujah. There's no comparison at all. He's a fallen angel. So that means God made him. is like saying, I gave birth to my child. God made him. So, but somehow in our minds, Satan get power. He has so much power that you have to contend. Like God has to really contend with the devil. God needs to wake up and be alert. Because this Satan, he get power. But I'm saying to you that God, he is Lord Almighty. He is God in his own class. Nothing comes close. You know, when the Bible says he's seated in unapproachable light, not even angels, much less fallen one. Hallelujah. Not even Angel Gabriel. Not even Angel Michael. I said much less a fallen devil, a fallen angel. So you see, everyone knows where he is. Too far. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Bible says he knows that his days are numbered. So everything he's doing is to just prove a point. But he doesn't have time. So somehow in our world today, we're constantly, I would say, unintentionally shrinking God, just putting him in a pedestal with some demons, bringing him into a box. Oh, our situation is bigger than this. Are you sure God can surmount this problem? You know, somehow we have brought the God so, just, in fact, our level, we and God are just, and you know, we make him a tool for our plans, or maybe a spectator in our lives. You know, we're reading the book of 1 Samuel. You see what they did in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I believe it, chapter 5, I think it is, how that there was a war, they were fighting, and Bible says they were losing the battle. It felt like, oh, we needed to do something about this because, no, not chapter 2. It can't be chapter 2. 1 Samuel. Mm-hmm. So he was like, in chapter 3, God spoke to Samuel. It's not chapter 3. Let's look at it. Is it not what we're reading? Let's go and find it. Open your Bible, everybody. Are you running anywhere? Are you running to anywhere? Where is it? 1 Samuel. People that are not reading are looking at us funny. I am not reading. Let me see your hand. Don't lie, you. Don't lie. I am not reading. So all of you are reading. Look, I've seen one hand. Because I'm going to catch you after service and ask you, what did you learn from yesterday? Oh, since you are reading. Praise God. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Great. Thank you. Okay, so it's good to read your Bible, isn't it? Yeah, I can follow up with events. Amen. So this war was happening between the Israelites and the Philistines, and they were losing the war, right? And they felt like, we need to do something. Okay, no, they had lost the war, basically. They had been beaten. So they were wondering, they were asked God, why did we lose this battle? They did something good. Ask God. So, but you know how you say, God, why is this happening to me? And then you don't wait to get a response, right? And they said, well, we have the ark, right? We have the ark. Let's go and bring, after all, the ark always works. Remember what I said? We try to use God as a tool in our lives, okay? So they're like, let's go and bring the ark. I mean, when the ark comes, victory guaranteed, everything has, you know. So they brought the ark to the war and they shouted. Even me, I felt that God would use that their shout to do something. The Bible said they so shouted, the ground was shaking. And the enemy said, what is happening in Israel? What is, they said, the ark of their, you know, all by themselves, they said, God has come. We have not faced this kind of thing ever. What are we going to do? They're not saying, encouraging themselves. See, you fight or die. You know, you have to, let's fight this fight or the last. It's something to learn something from. It's really something to learn. Like, the odds are against us, but we're not turning back. Let's fight. Give your life. You say, Philistines, fight. Fight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, when they now came to the fight, of course, Israelites in their mind, done deal. Only that they were so beaten, and the cap and the ark was captured. So let me now see what you can bring again. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, God doesn't care, really. Remember what we're talking about? His sovereignty is what we're discussing this month. You are the one that will be ashamed. Oh, God, do it now so that our enemies will not feel like you're not. That is your problem. It's not my problem. I don't care. Let them think I don't have power. It's your problem. But you will do right by me. He's just. He's not trying to accommodate your emotions. He's God. Thank you very much. The ark is working because I said use the ark. So the moment I don't say anything, it becomes just a box. Imagine the Philistines being able to capture the ark. I mean, ark that Uzzah touched and they carried it. Hey, we know. So you know that it is not the ark. It is the God in the ark. And once you leave that God out, you're on your own. Hi! I could just imagine how they were shouting and the ground was shaking. So, and then I imagined their faces after the war was lost and the ark captured. How would they explain it? What would they be saying to their children? But you see, God has said about Eli and his sons, he said, to show that I have spoken you, all of you will die in one day. Right? So prophecy had gone forth about the house of Eli. It had to happen. And what happened? The war safe. The ark was brought. Who was manning the ark? The useless, Hophni, and Phinehas were the ones. How would they win? Like, may the people that God has judged not be around you. So you not sink with them. God has already judged them. Has declared wars that will happen to them. It was just waiting for them to fall into it. And they were there in their mind. We are priests of the Most High. Ha! May God not abandon you and you think you still have God. Ha! Jesus is Lord. God has judged them. These people are evil. You know what you are reading now? You saw what they were doing. Ha! People will be making sacrifice before they even finish. Bring this one. You are pointing at me. God has not even taken his own. You come first to grab your portion. They say, okay, wait now, let's just. No. Us. You may, come on. They bring. Zero fear. That one is not enough. You see fine girls that are coming to worship the Lord. You'll be cornering them one side. And you want to leave? Why won't you die? And then they are the ones that are in the war. The ark has come. God, come and do. That. See, they are the reasons they had to lose that war. You don't get it. Word has gone forth. See, God has spoken. His words must come to pass. And they died. The ark was captured. When their father Eli heard that his sons had died, of course, he knew that those ones are already on their way going. But then when he heard that the ark was captured, the Bible says he fell backwards and broke his neck because it has been spoken that all of you would die on the same day. Something significant that I saw about the life of Eli, the Bible says he was fat. He was heavy. You saw it. Priest. Every day. Now he's old though and blind, but he was still fat. So, holy God, that Jesus. I felt like there was something to that, really, that the Bible had to clearly say it. Amen. Praise God. God is good. You know, when Hannah came to pray, he was seated. He was just sitting and he just managed to drag himself and come to there and sit down. It's well. He couldn't do anything about himself. That's not my message. Let's leave Eli alone. Praise God forevermore. I'm saying that we don't use God as a tool. You know, God, that you say, today, there's a problem, there's a challenge, there's a need. Let's go and talk to God. Let's go and pray and see if he would do something about it. That's what they say, to see if the ark will do something about it. No, God is not that person that is waiting for you to wake up one day. Oh, there's a need today. Let me run to God. No, that day you'll be disappointed because he's not a tool waiting to appease you, make you happy. He's not some ATM. He just, you know, let's just go and, you know, get some cash. No, he's not like that. He is God. is God. It means that I don't need anything. You need God. I need something. You need God. In between, you need God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, let's just think about God. I want us to really give a thought to the one we call God. You know, when the Bible was being described, we're writing the word, the scriptures, you will learn that history will let us know that at every time they have to write the almighty name of God, they will pause. They will go ceremonially and wash before they come and write the name God. Imagine how many times the name came out in scriptures. And they have such reverence for the name that they, we've come to waste. What, something important. They'll go back and wash clean. They'll come back and write, continue. Oh, there's another one. So assuming in a verse, of course, you know, then it's not verses, right? But for easy understanding, the verse you just baited, the second verse is a God. You go back again and cleanse. He's just trying to say to you, this is how much reverence we have for this God. Who you don't approach because you are feeling happy. You know, it's not, I'm excited today, let's go and do something. They just died. That you're too excited, God doesn't care about it. So it's not your excitement. He is almighty. Now, God will meet Moses and say to him to go to Egypt, and talk to Pharaoh and say to, first of all, talk to people of Israel and say to them that God will have them come out. And he says, who should I say sent me? And he said what? I am. So some will say, I am, I am. Then, because to make it easy to read, we now have to, English, the language, you now have to complete and say, I am that I am. I am who I am. Do you get that? But it's, I am, I am. Okay? Praise God forevermore. When I started to think about I am, you know, usually, which is also valid, it is that he is whatever you add there, right? I am healer. I am gracious. I am, come on, I am mighty. I am helper. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's valid. So, but I started to see how that it is every day you go there, I am there. I am in existence. I am there. And when you look at that is the original translation of the original Hebrew, you see that it is that not just that I am, which is present, is that I will be what I will be. Which is the same thing we see in Hebrews, I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So basically, just trying to say to you that the name is not a name of the Old Testament. So God's name did not end because you are seeing his might in the Old Testament. He is still who he is today. He is still who he is today. And he will be who he will be tomorrow, forevermore. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonder why Moses will ask, but who sent me? Who are you? Who should I say is sending me? Because really you need to understand who is sending you. You need to understand who is sending you because that will encourage you to know that you can deliver on this battle. You are not alone. An understanding of who your God is, who your Father is, it just strengthens you to go through life without care. Go through life knowing that my God, I have somebody who sent me. Come on, say, I am sent. Say, I am sent. I am not just walking through life. I am sent here. And the one who sent me is the Almighty God. He is the Lord of the heavenly armies. Hallelujah. The one who, Bible says, at the blast of his nostrils. Hallelujah. The blast of his nostrils. The foundations of the earth, they just reveal that its oceans give space. You begin to see the waters give way. I'm saying to you that you have a God who is living, ever living. The key scripture for the month. Thank you, Father. Psalm 103, verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19. Probably be just trying to read from here so I can speed up. Psalm 103, verse 13.
Okay. Verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Who established his kingdom? Himself established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Now, let's look at, please get to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 is such an interesting story. Remember what I just read. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. So Nebuchadnezzar would think that he's a God that has arrived. You know, he was doing so well that he felt so good and so big about himself. And he thought he was now the Almighty God. So in chapter 3, the fiery furnace had happened, and he was praising the God of these Hebrew boys. I didn't think he realized what he was saying, because he couldn't have continued in his path if he really realized that. When we look at chapter 4, he had a dream, right? And in his dream, these were the visions of my head, verse 10. While on my bed, I was looking and behold, a tree. Yeah, he saw a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of an animal. And let seven times pass over him. Seven times usually means 7 years, okay? This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. Hallelujah. So this dream he had, and he was sharing it with Daniel now. He had tried to get interpretation. He didn't get it. Now called Daniel. And then Daniel, started to give interpretation. Verse 20, the tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and on whose branches the birds of the heaven had their habitation. It says, 22, it says, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. It says, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is an interpretation, O king, and this is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king. They will drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. Amen. Such a powerful king. But then there's a judgment that has come upon him. Yes, heaven, even heaven recognizes that you are a big king. Heaven recognizes that. He said, but you see, because you are yet to understand that there is a God who rules in the affairs of men, this is what will befall you. You'll be found among the beasts. You will graze or eat grass like the oxen. Verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 29 says, at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts. God is so just. So this word had come to him. You know, like Pastor Banky would say that if God is killing you, you'll be telling him, "Ah, God, you are doing well. That God, you are good." You'll be saying, "Lord, thank you. This killing you are killing me is a good killing. Keep at it. If it is me, I will not just kill myself. I will cremate. You know, if it is me, I will do something worse, basically." Because you will find that it is justice. It is out of just and out of love he's doing the killing, in quotes, right? Get me in context. That's better. So he had warned Nebuchadnezzar. He's been doing stuff. But the word of the Lord came to him. And because the Bible says he was at the end of 12 months. So a time had passed. Maybe he felt, well, nothing happened, right? But the thing inherent hadn't left him. That pride was still deep rooted in his heart. He's still lacking that understanding of who is the Almighty. And he started to brag, "Am I not the one? Is not this the great Babylon that I have built?" And the Lord, and he said to him, "It has been spoken. To you, it has been spoken." So now is judgment time. Do you understand that? I'm saying that God rules in the affairs of men. And when he judges a man, he says it. He's not trying to make you feel like, "Oh, no. He tells them. He became an animal, eating grass, basically. But you see, so that you know that God keeps his words. God is almighty. God is unshakable. God is unmovable. God is just there. God. He doesn't care. You know, it's not something the human mind can really understand clearly. At the fullness of time, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar looked up and began to exalt God. He says in chapter 4, verse 34, "At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." He says, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." Say, lesson learned. Are you still with me? Lesson learned. Praise the Lord. "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." He does, so including himself now, right? "I am reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" "At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and nobles resorted to me." Sorry, "My honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me." So when a man submitted his whole glory to the one who owns the glory, it says, "Excellent majesty was added to me." Think about this. 7 years, nobody took his place. Because the word of God has said that he left the stump of the roots there. So what it means is that you will return. I'm saying, I just want you to learn a lesson. That's it. You come back and continue because I want you to learn it and teach these people. A man will say, let's quickly fill up the gap. Let's fill it up. Let's fill it up. Let's add, put somebody there. Not God. He will cause their mind. Nobody will think of putting somebody in his place because it is the counsel of God. There is nobody that can be equated with God. Job was going through all that he went through. I mean, he went through a lot. Really a lot. A man lost his family, his children, lost everything he had and all of that. And he was still standing in faith. Then his friends came and started to nag him left, right, and center. And you see, at some point, Job started to say, this God is like, he's judging both the unrighteous and the righteous. He's just, I think I'm good. I'm doing well enough. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in my life? People say, I give my offerings, I pay my tithes, I give this, I give that. Thank you. I'm always in church. I'm doing what I think I know to do. Why are things going the way they are going? Do I have people like that? I've done all I know to do. I'm praying. I'm doing this. God, why are you being unfaithful? You don't literally say it to him like that, but that is what you imply. That's what, God, I'm doing my part. Why are you not doing your part? I'm trying, you know. I'm trying. At least this is my neighbor. Don't even go to church. I'm trying. At least it's this year. But this man has not even called me on phone and know why I'm not in church. Because I'm always in church. But what's happening? Amen. Have you thought about that before? When it just feels like God is being unfair. Lord, why? Why is this thing lingering? What do you want me to do? Tell me now. Open my mirrors here. Lord, I've been waiting on you about this. What is going on? Tell me now. Why are you being this? Why are you being like this? So, invariably, that's what Job said. That's what he slipped into unconsciously. But you know, God is amazing. Job chapter 38. So as he was still in that state of heart, wondering why God is this, why God is not being God, the Bible says that out of the whirlwind, so you can see out of the whole chaos, the Lord spoke to him and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? That is saying, who is this one that is saying what he doesn't even understand? He says, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. So Job was throwing a pity party, how God was being unfair. How are you not seeing all the things that are happening in my life? And God said to him, Oga, come. Just stand like a man. I'll question you and you must answer me. He said, where were you when the foundations of this earth were laid? Come on, can you know? Where were you when we're laying the foundations of this earth? You know now because you were there. So tell me, since you have wisdom, you have understanding. Who determined these measurements? Imagine God asking a man this kind of question. Since you are just, I am not. You are faithful, I am not. Who determined these measurements? Surely you know. It's what the Bible says. Abi? Media, you put another WhatsApp group, Abi, what? I don't understand. I mean, 38 verse 5. Thank you. Because, thank you. Okay. So, who determined its measurement? Says, surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? Okay, good. To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid this cornerstone? When the morning stars, When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, or who shut in the seas with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb. When I made the clouds his garments and thick darkness his swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. God was asking him questions. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Verse 12, he says, have you commanded the morning since your days began? And caused the dawn to know its place. You know, this is where people now start say, commanding the morning prayers. That's not what God was saying. Yeah, but you see it now. Put it in NLT. New Living Translation. Put it in NLT so you will see. It not say you should wake up. Let's just read scriptures. NLT, please. Oh, yeah. Have you ever commanded the morning to do what? And caused the dawn to rise in the east. Hey, you have forgotten, Abby. Even me. Praise God. It's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God forevermore. God started to question Job. Where were you? How dare you say you are righteous? How dare you say you are just? How dare you say you are? How dare you? By the time he was done with Job, Bible says he was like this. Literally, he put his hand on his mouth and said, I'm sorry, I've said the wrong thing. If you understand who God is, anytime you complain, like Job, you do, Lord, I'm sorry, I have said the wrong thing. No matter what, even when you are heavily disappointed, you will understand that you have a God who is just, who is almighty, who does not do wrong. Who does not do wrong. And if indeed you call him your God, you will know that even what seems that you are being wronged, even when it seems like you are being wronged, that you have a God who can never do wrong as your father. Hallelujah. So it seems like Job was upright. God himself attested to his uprightness. Amen. So it was not his imagination. So, but that you are doing your best does not even begin to equate God's justice. Does not even begin to come to par with God's righteousness. God is so great. He's so big. He's so deep. Deep to the end of the earth. You won't even find that it's bottomless. The wisdom of God, you can't get to the bottom of it. The glory you see in the world today does not even scratch the glory of God. There are kings, and there are kings. If you come to villages, there are kings that are Iwedalu, but there are kings you must go on your knees to greet. There are kings you wave at. There are kings you prostrate for. Abi now. Hallelujah. So somebody sang, Eze, 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 Nezo, no Kurugi. O Dio, Negina, Yana, Chieze. Ibo, Kemo, Mondiana, Twebu, Natwebu, Ya. O Dio, Negina, Yana, Chieze. Ane buachara, o kwa gibo kachara neto. O tigo nye gina yana chieze. Neligwe neluwa, chuku nani gibo kaka. O Dio nye gina yana chieze. Ilori ilorenyi, urodum nono turugola. O Dio nye gina yana chieze. I wish I can capture it very clearly in English. What is that? There is nobody that is ruling with God. He says, Eze, Ndiezena, that is his king. Every other kings are submitted. They are hiding under him. Yes. Hiding. Every other king. Imagine the greatest king you know on earth. Hides under the king of kings. Every spirit that you fear, anybody fears this God. Every spirit, every power fears and bows before this God. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. He's the ancient, he's the days. Ancient of the days. He's mighty. That's the God you serve. See, even if it hasn't happened, God is so good. He's so good, you will know this God is on my side. He rules over the affairs of men. God rules over every situation. God rules over all. So if believers will come to the point where they understand that God rules. So in the midst of this chaos, God is on top. You know that God is not walking over heaven and pacing around and be like, oh my God, the economy, I don't understand what is going on. God is not pacing heaven, wondering what is happening, you know, how the economy is getting. No, he's not. Some of us think that when things happen and we are running around, God is also, what do we do? God, what should we do? What should we do about this matter? He's seated. He is seated on his throne. So the worst thing that can happen in your life, God is seated on his throne. He's seated, resting. So rest in the God that you have. Understand that he's ruling. Rest in him. If he's seated, you should see too. And remember, your spirit is seated. That is why the battlefield is usually in the mind. Coming to the place, getting your mind to the seated position. That's why I say, be still and know that I am God. He's Ebenezer. He's the stone of help. He was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Bible says that their shoes did not wear out, their clothes did not. And he still does. Remember what I wear started? He's I am. Today he's still I am. Remember where, the shoe you have, the one that's lasted the longest, it's up to 20 years. No, even if it's Italian leather, that's the Italians woke up and they say, want to do masterpiece. But you're wearing it every day. You wear out. No, it wasn't third road, so. As if that's not enough. Their clothes, they were not, you know how you wear clothes, 1 year you have gotten fat. Or you slim down, you go and shape it. Or you got fat, you keep it. Whether they got fat, the cloth is their size. Whether they slim down, the cloth is their size. He's God. The God you are worshipping, he has done mind-blowing things. He has done, Bible says, terrible things in righteousness. Can you imagine that? So, 20 years later, this is my clothes. Whether I'm fat or thin, I'm still wearing it. It's my size. This is my shoe. As fine as it was when I left Egypt. So I'm saying, if God can do this kind of thing, what can he do? What is confusing him? What is shaking him? You know, the Israelites will think that, just think about it. Now we are in Israel, what are we going to be eating? So God, who brought you out of Egypt, did not consider that you'll be eating. But that's what we do. That's what we do. Fuel as price. So God just, we have come to the junction of fuel increase. Hey, Lord, you know, God will not be thinking. So what should we do? He is the end and the beginning. He is the beginning and the end. So it means that when we come to a point where something is happening, we should already know that God has gone there. has gone there. What's our response? Rest. Thanksgiving. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Your God is mighty. Your God is mighty. 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Okay. Where is that? 29. Verse 11. From verse 10. Let's read from verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. He says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. When we understand that everything comes from God, that God rules over all, you're not even jealous of anybody. You're not feel envious of anybody. Because you know the source. Every good gift comes from the Lord. And you know what? He didn't stop there. He said, in whom there is no what? It's not like I saw you and I changed. Your face is not, you're not smiling today, so nothing for you. No, he's God, he's God. You can't change him because you're happy. Neither can you change him because you're sad. He's God. God is consistent in all his ways. He's consistent. It's not a joyful thing that we have such person, such consistent God as our God. So it's not like, today God is not feeling happy. So let's not bother him. He's not in the mood. I mean, there are days I'm not in the mood. Don't call me. Don't you? There are days you're not in the mood to even take calls. Just feel like this phone should not ring today. When I say sometimes, my brother will say, stop saying that you missed the call. Just say, because my phone has been on silence for a long time. Don't ring. But you see, God is not that person. Every time, every moment when you call him, he answers. He's right there waiting. He's right there waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know that God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him as God. That nothing is moving him. Nothing is shaking him. Just know that he's the rock. He's the rock. If a person is standing on the rock, how can you be shaken when the rock you're standing on is unmovable? How can you be shaken when the rock you're upon? Bible says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Because that rock is unshakable, it's unsinkable, it's unmovable. So when you get on the rock, how can you be on the rock and still be shaken? You have El Shaddai on your side. Multi-breasted. God is El Shaddai. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. He's a big God. His power is uncreated. He's unlimited. You know when there's unlimited data? I say God's power is unlimited. God's power is unlimited. And he didn't inherit it from anybody. He is strength. He is power. When we say all power belongs to God, God is power. God is strength. When you look at what he was answering Job, he said, even the stars, who kept them standing there? I know their names. Do you? I'm sure you do. Come, let's be debating. I kept them there. So the power that is keeping the stars up there can't fix your life. See, understand that God is God. And it should make you fear too. When you begin to walk, you know, just live your life that, you know, just like Nebuchadnezzar, I mean, I'm doing well, or I can sort it out. Don't let the Lord leave you to your own foolishness. Just be going. Just be going. You know, just be going. When your mother tells you, just be going. You know that you can't try it. Don't let God say, okay, you want to go. You have tried and tried and tried. It's not working. But you still want to be going. Like he did with Balaam. Clearly, God said I should not go. But now, God, should I go again? Just be going. And he almost died for it. God doesn't have time. Oh, let's be debating. You know? People think when we come to God, I did this, I did not. You did this, you did not. You will know you did it and what you didn't did it. Hallelujah. God is almighty. He said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I wish we had time. In fact, when you go home, read Job 38, 39, 40. You will see how God was plenty of questions. But Job wanted to say, I've not finished. Have you seen the Leviathan? How did the shape is? What did you contribute? Did you contribute a finger to it? I'm sure you are the one that suggested how long they would be. I said, when he was done with Job was like, sorry, Lord. Literally. Oh God, Okechi abato akwolie chukwe bibi ogada gidi 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 kani jabamba okechi abato akwolie chukwe bibi ezabata O batara benwanya karoso nwa O bataiya dimba o kechine bemba Abolie chukwe buye bube ezabata I want every mountain to come crumbling down right now. Just right before your eyes, because your God is sovereign. Your God is God over all. Nothing scares him. Nothing shakes him. Nothing matters. He is God. He is God.
He is God.
Just in case you're joining us online, please get your communion elements. We are taking communion right now. No human being is supreme. Only the Lord God is the supreme being. Only the Lord God is the supreme being. He is the absolute ruler of heaven and earth. That is why we must understand the president is not your president, he holds. Because God is the president general of all the nations. He is the president general of all presidents. So we submit to the president of presidents. He who has established his kingdom in heavens. Presidents bow before these presidents. And our Nigeria is not left behind. No, it doesn't matter. Whether you are a believer or not, you bow before the King of Kings.
Okechi, ikuku emanonya, olori eloreni, amamasi, iwe, ebube, kashala matana mama, kemo nechiwe, ebube, onyomane mema, isi keto, asale takabanya na, onikeni neti no bakaya, the all powerful God. The Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I'm on the edge
of all the confidence you need is in understanding who your God is. All the confidence you need to live true life is understanding who your God is. I like to say, understanding who your daddy is. He rules. He rules. See, people can be, let people offend you. Know that God rules. Let people be evil. Know that God rules. At the end of the day, don't worry. By next week, I'm laying a foundation. So you understand first who God is. No matter what people do, God reigns upon their evil. God reigns over their evil. So have you commanded the day? Which day have you commanded? The hairs on your head, do you know how many they are? No, how many strands of hair are your head? How many strands are on your head? Tell me. How many hairs are on your body? You can't add a day. You can't even add a cubit to your height. I mean, I want to be taller. I can't make myself taller. I want to be shorter. I can't make myself shorter. I wish you can stop looking at me and just stay with God. I wish you can just stop looking at me. I'm not performing, no. I'm not performing. I said, just stay with God. I'm pointing you to your God. I'm pointing you to your God. In whom mountains melt like, before whom mountains melt like wax. I'm pointing you to your God. I'm pointing you to your God. I wish you can forget that somebody is here. Just have the, not them alone. If you want to lie down, lie down. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. But just let your heart begin to appreciate your God. Let your heart appreciate His might. Oh, shala makatiya na mahadas. And I'm telling you, oh, Batagoba, remember we said God is in this room. He's not trying to come into your life. He's there. Woo! Shabalate, God's coming out there, like a buyer. Holy, 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 is the Lord strong and mighty. Holy, 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 thou art worthy, Lord, to receive glory, honor, praise, worship. You are worthy, 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 you are worthy. Oh,
Oh,
In the name of Jesus, when you go home, lay your hands on the rest of your family members who are not here. All right? Your children, do that. Do that. Do that. If you know me, you know, I'd rather not. I'm learning to do what the Lord wants me to do. Let's rise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.